From the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on the live blog by Jamie Snowden, Alex Talish, and all the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we are going to break down the Packers-Seahawks loss, but first, and talk about the game against the Jets coming up. But first, we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Corey Linsley,
the rookie, hanging in there.
Tremon Williams.
Everybody worried about Tremon? Not so much.
Josh Sitton.
Dominating up front.
And we got the bad. We got Derek Sherrod.
Look out, Aaron!
Latroy Guyon.
Oh my goodness, what a pathetic performance in the middle of the defense.
Ha ha, Clinton Dix.
Who actually had a pretty decent game, but his bad plays were really, really bad.
And we got the ugly. We got Brad Jones.
Brad Jones. Remember back in the day when Ted was first, you know, kind of got around and just kind of looked at people and said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to keep that guy. I'm not going to keep that guy. I'll keep that guy around. We got into this season. The Packers played Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles, and Ahmad Carroll was burned by Greg Williams for a touchdown, and the next day he was cut. Remember that day? Because that's what should have happened to Brad Jones after the Seahawks game. And we're off.
I just realized everybody got to see the back of my head on that.
Yeah, they did. That was nice. You do that every week. At some point, you do a little
something. At some point, I have to do something.
And
I just noticed it myself. So there, 4 weeks, and I'm finally noticing things like that.
It's all right.
So hey, there you go.
By the time we're in December, we'll have this thing running.
We'll finally have it going. Until Tom Pelissero comes on the show.
Yeah.
And then the whole show will break.
Whenever Pelissero comes on, everything falls apart. All right. But first of all, obviously, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight, Packer Transplants Live. Before we get going, we did want to say a special shout out
to the greatest quarterback.
To the greatest quarterback
ever played.
For the Green Bay Packers, to Mr. Bart Starr, who it was reported today, suffered a minor stroke last week. We have a quote from his family here. He is very functional and making progress every day. He is in the care of his physicians and therapists and will be released as soon as he regains his strength. Bart's doctors are confident for a full recovery. We remain grateful for your love and concern. And he most certainly has that here from Cheesehead TV, and I know from Packers fans everywhere. Going to raise a Wisco Disco to Bart Starr.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little sobering, you know, when you...
Yeah, when I saw it, I mean, I was very glad when they were like, they expect him to recover. When I saw it, I was very shocked.
You know, it gets you... It's a man you've looked up to your entire life. Nothing but the best for him and his family. Hope for a speedy recovery. And I'm going to need a recovery after I down this Wisco Disco, let me tell you. It's nice to be able to enjoy a lovely beverage.
You have problems.
I do have problems. Hey, but seriously, I mean, you got to be happy about life. Talk about a man who lived his life to the fullest.
And yes.
Showed us what a champion truly is, both on and off the field. You know, like I said, swig it to him, man. That's great. And speaking of Wisco Disco, Stillmank. Loving it. People, you know, obviously weren't at Lambeau last week because the Packers were on the road, hoping to get a whole bunch more pictures from people enjoying their Wisco Disco.
Yeah, I want to see a picture of someone holding a Wisco Disco with a Cheesehead TV shirt on because I have not seen that yet.
That would pretty
or
much,
a lot of ball game. I'll take either one.
Either one will do. Of course, that would be akin to all life as we know it, stopping instantaneously and exploding at the speed of light is what that would be. And I can't wait for it to happen. All right, so let's get to some football, should we?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, let's talk about the news of the day. Packers back at it after the brutal loss to the Seahawks. A little bit of time off. We all got to enjoy, or not enjoy, as the case may be, week one around the NFL. The Packers back on the practice field today. Kind of the headline, Eddie Lacy and Brad Jones do not participate in today's practice. Mike, meeting with reporters afterwards, indicated that Lacy is close in the concussion protocol. They're in pads tomorrow. Have to think, if he's going to play, we're going to see him tomorrow. So hopefully Thursday, you know, if you're downloading this later, you'll already be talking about this is old and you don't need to worry about it. But Eddie Lacy, close in the concussion protocol. And then Brad Jones.
Yeah, I'm not sure Packer fans are that worried about.
I don't think people are too worried about Brad Jones. I mean, man, the vitriol this guy's.
Oh, my goodness.
I just did intimate that he should have been cut.
If I had a dollar for every time somebody tweeted something bad about Brad Jones,
you'd be a rich man.
I wouldn't be Bill Gates, but I'd be.
She said TV would have a few more staffers. I'll tell you that.
Yes, they would.
But so Brad Jones, yes, a non-participant, but a slight participant, a limited participant, if you want to use the parlance of the NFL, was Mr. Brian Bulaga, who did individual drills with a humongous knee brace.
I like that.
I like it. I'm still going to be shocked if he plays.
On Sunday? For sure.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be a stretch. Of course, Mike did say a lot's going to depend on how his knee reacts. We'll see, I guess. Apparently, Tom Silverstein from the Journal Sentinel did say it looked like Bulaga was moving, quote, gingerly. And that's not anything you want to see from your starting right tackle. So, and we know the historically conservative nature of the Packers medical staff would probably lead one to believe. I'm shocked he was on the field at all. Because as Mike said last week, you know, there was a kind of a disconnect between the medical staff saying they don't want anything to do with it and Brian Bulaga saying he wants to practice. Apparently, Bulaga won out and got to be on the practice field today. We'll see how the knee reacts.
Well, speaking of Brad Jones, we've already got something on the chat. Packerbacker 5677. Hello, everybody. When is Lattimore playing Bench Jones? And there you go.
That's another dollar for you.
There's a dollar. We're getting up there.
I would suspect we see Lattimore this week. I really do. And I know.
That's exciting.
And not just
Lattimore
because
Lattimore was exciting last year.
And not just because of injury. Let me tell you, Lattimore looked very good prior to his injury last year. When he came back, he was terrible.
Lattimore was like the J. Ron Elliott of last year.
It was assignment sure, which after Thursday is a boon to anybody. And he kind of laid the wood. He did a great job of shooting gaps in the run game. Got out in the flats nice in the passing game. You know, I just don't see how he's not an upgrade over what Brad Jones put on tape on Thursday.
I mean,
it was bad. It was bad. Mike McCarthy.
It was so bad we ran a 4-3.
I love Mike saying it was not Brad's best game. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Mike also did say that they didn't specifically.
Oh, we'll get to that. That's next. We're almost there.
He did say that too.
We're almost there. Okay. Just wait. We got one more note on the news, and that's Brandon Bostic participates fully in practice today. Did a bunch of drills. They did special teams coverage. He was out there running full bore. So that bodes well. And let me tell you, you guys know all through the preseason, I'm on the Richard Rodgers train. I think he is the tight end for this team. But Brandon Bostic's, athletic ability, his ability to get up the seam, I think was sorely missed against the Seahawks. A lot of people tweeting me afterwards, like, would JerMichael Finley have made a difference? I think any kind of athletic tight end would have made a difference, and they didn't have that on Thursday. Mm. And Bostic, while he's not at Finley's level athletically or, as far as, even just having the pelts on the wall, so to speak, he would definitely be able to get down the seam. And I would suspect that's something we see Sunday against the Jets. Now, to the offense and to what you were just trying to get to.
Yeah, I always go ahead.
Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, swearing blind, ladies and gentlemen. They promise us. There's no doubt about it. The Green Bay Packers offense was not scared of Richard Sherman and did not in any way, shape, or form try to avoid him.
I'm not buying that.
Now, I would love to buy that. I would love to buy that, except there's this thing that's out there called the coach's tape that is available for everyone. Now, on the Game Rewind, where play after play after play after play after play after play. You see Jordy Nelson to the left. You see Jarrett Boykin out there on an island all by himself. You see Aaron Rodgers never look for Jarrett Boykin, ever. And I understand. I understand. Of course you're looking for Jordy Nelson. He's your best wide receiver. Of course you're going to look for him matched up on Maxwell on the other side. There were plenty of times when Jordy wasn't open. There were plenty of times when they were playing zone. There were plenty of times when one, two, three options aren't open. Turn your head and look to the right. It happens so rarely, and it barely happened at all.
Yeah, it makes no
sense.
To
the point where for them to say that they weren't, and here's the other thing. Here's the other tell. If you go, if you are on Game Rewind, go watch the tape and look for this specifically. There are a number of plays, and it usually happens on third downs, but it did happen on some others, where the offensive line and the protection in general, whether it's the line or the backs or the tight ends, et cetera, where they slide right. They slide on purpose to the right. And these aren't checks. Some of them probably are, but for it to happen continuously where they literally wall off Rodgers' right so that he can scan the center and left side of the field. And this happens repeatedly. There are so many more slides than you're used to seeing from the Packers. That's what leads me to believe that I don't buy that they weren't, Aaron just didn't happen to look over there. Or whenever he did, Boykin was covered. Because, by the way, he barely looks over there the entire game. So I ain't buying what they sell it.
If you believe that Mike McCarthy was not trying to avoid Richard Sherman the entire game,
right?
Then you must also believe that the NFL never saw a certain videotape in an elevator.
We were so...
I couldn't help myself.
We were 15 minutes into this
That's
show.
That's all I'm going to say about that, but you 15. Also believe that. And
we made it 15 minutes without mentioning it.
I've got some Brooklyn Bridge tickets that I'm going to sell you, and I also have some Green Bay Air rights that I'm going to sell you.
Nice.
Because you know those Green Bay Air rights. No, they're going like hotcakes.
They're valuable.
They're
valuable.
Really, really That's valuable.
That's a valuable commodity right there. Man, I can't believe it. Well, 15 minutes. That was good. That was good. I think most NFL programs airing tonight are probably leading with it, and we waited all 15 minutes. So that's good.
That's all I'm going to say on
Even though we did promise our Twitter followers we weren't going
to. No, I was plus one on it. I couldn't help myself.
I hear you.
Because it's just unbelievable.
Okay. You're right.
We're Green Bay Packer fans. Why do you have to lie to us, Mike?
Come on, Mike.
Don't lie to us.
Mike.
We know what's going on.
We know what's up.
There's no way you don't. Yeah. I didn't see the coach's tape, and there's no way I'm buying that.
No. Nor should you. But the slide protection, like I said, it was very interesting. Seriously, go back and watch the coach's tape. You'll see the entire line slide. The tight end kind of do his little kick in and form a wall. It happens repeatedly. Bakhtiari crashing down where they're creating a pocket for Rodgers for half the field. It's bizarre. And it actually was pretty effective early. Before the Seahawks realized, wait a second, they're never throwing over here. And here's the other thing. You want to sell me this nonsense about how we weren't avoiding Richard Sherman. Okay, in the second half, talking about the coach's tape, watch the safety, because they play a ton of single high safety. Watch the safety slowly start shading over towards the side where they're always throwing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then watch Aaron Rodgers still never look over at Richard Sherman.
Okay, here's what I don't understand.
So you're playing essentially 11 on 10.
Yeah.
Or 10 on 10 at best.
And I don't understand. I don't understand how you can be so complicated about the defense. Mm. But then when it comes to the offense, you actually are kind of simplistic. It's like, oh, it's okay, Richard Sherman. We're not going to go over there. Now we know that.
Yeah.
By
the second half, they were like, okay, we don't have to give Richard any kind of. We'll
I kind of feel
high.
Like I feel
and
like
I made the running game more difficult. It just killed it.
I mean, it's funny. I didn't feel like this when I watched the game on Thursday because I am what I like to term a hardcore moderate.
Say, I think you're.
I am a hardcore moderate.
Hardcore
when it comes to the Packers,
moderate.
You got to put both phrases together. Right. Okay, there's very few moderates in this country as it is. We need more of them. And when it comes to the Packers, I like to give historical context.
Right.
A Cliff Crystal, if you will.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Not that I have. Near the knowledge of a crystal, but I was like, okay, this is the Super Bowl champs, but we did get run over by them.
Yep. We most certainly did. And here's the thing. Here's
I was in denial about it on Thursday, but...
But here's the thing.
Yeah, we got run over.
They stuck with it. They stayed with the champs. It's, you know, they're still in it at halftime. But then it's that sequence of the interception.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I did love Aaron Rodgers taking the blame for that in his press conference. But that's on Jordy Nelson. You got to freaking catch that, man. You know, yes. I know it's out in front of him.
Yes.
Aaron said in his press conference that that's, you know, I think he said it's a foot, you know, off of where I wanted it to be. Yes. Which it was. But Nelson, it hits him in the hands. You can't let that pop up and let the defense get it. So, okay, there's that. And then the very next offensive possession,
yeah,
you've got the fumble for the safety. And that was it. And once that happened, yeah, and they knew they weren't
using too many mistakes.
And they knew they weren't using that half of the field. Well, fine. They packed the box, couldn't run the ball, and they knew they were probably going to be throwing it. So that's when Derek Sherrod got in all sorts of trouble, and it was over. So, because, you know, once you can pin your ears back against the Packers, it's game over.
Yeah, and not to mention the defense did not help them.
Yeah, well.
I know we're not at defense yet. No,
it's okay. Do we have any more points on the running game? Oh, the running game. Well, I kind of just touched on it. The running game, you know, there wasn't a whole lot going on early, obviously. And, you know, but although they were a little successful. What I found curious is all offseason, all preseason, you know, you thought it was going to be the Eddie Lacy show. We've all, you know, he only played that one series in St. Louis. He played the one series against the Raiders. And you thought, you know, they're saving him because he's going to be your bell cow back. This is the guy. He's going to get tons of carries. He's going to march down the field. And he did initially in that first drive. He played well. He broke a bunch of tackles, made some guys miss, got him down to the opposite end, you know, got him past the 50.
Yeah.
And then they put James Starks in.
But James Starks, okay.
And I love James Starks.
That drive.
I love James
That Starks. Drive. There was the nugget of the Packers, right? That drive with Starks. And I tweeted about it. My favorite tweets that I've ever done in my whole entire life, besides like historical tweets, I literally will sit there and I'll be like, as soon as the offensive drive starts, and I'll be like, whoever Rodgers throws it to, I'll be like, Cobb. And then I just start it. And then I know that by the end of the drive, hopefully I'll be saying touchdown, right? But in some ways it's brilliant because I'll be like a Packer beat writer. It's like my little, like, it's like I'm kind of a Packer beat writer because it's like I have the exact diagram of what each play was. Cobb, Nelson, Starks, flag, whatever. Right. You know, I love that. And that drive, that happened on. And it was the only drive of the game. And it was Starks, dude. Starks was good
great
in the game.
He was great later on. But the first drive when they pulled Lacy and then they put in Starks, all of a sudden it just got wonky.
Yeah.
And of course it happened also because Rodgers threw behind Nelson on one of those smoke screens. But it was interesting. The third down before the muffed punt, where Richard Sherman pushed, you know, a blocker into the returner, the third down prior to that play, Rodgers has Nelson, and he absolutely, and this is why you need to watch the coaches tape. Because if you watch the broadcast, it's interesting. It looks like Aaron's made the dumbest throw on earth. It looks like Aaron's made a throw to a spot in the zone where no one is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's just like, it's weird on the broadcast. It's like, what happened there? And of course, they never went back. They never showed you. So you watch the coaches tape. Seahawks are in a zone coverage and Jordy's doing like a 15-yard in. Actually, Jordy gets right to the sticks for a first down. And he turns and he looks at Aaron. He sits down in the middle of the zone and looks at Aaron. He's got the first down. Aaron sees him. Aaron pulls the trigger. But right before Aaron pulls the trigger, Jordy turns and runs upfield, like thinking that Aaron's not going to pull the trigger. And he thinks, oh, I'm going to go deep. And then literally just as soon as Jordy turns to run, Aaron's thrown it. And then it just hits like where Jordy had just been standing.
Well, and to the broadcast, the EVS producer, so the replay producer, The last thing.
Nerd alert.
Okay. No. Nerd alert. Nerd alert. Okay. Because you're like, they didn't show me the nerdy. No. Okay. Hold on a second.
I'm talking football, son.
They didn't show me the reason that he missed.
Well, they didn't. Because I'm going to tell you why they did that. Okay. Because
their camera operators
suck. No, not because of that. They have that play. That's the last play they go to. They go to, why did that play break up last? Their focus is on emotion.
I know.
And on how the game emotion is. And so they're going to show you a guy with a towel.
I've got emotion.
Over his head.
I don't need you to show me emotion.
They don't need to know why the pass was broken up, Nagler.
I do.
Yeah. You're going to look at it on the coach's tape.
Yeah, most fans want to know. Tell you that, son.
You know what? I wish I had that little tape clip to show you what they went to, and then I could explain to you why the EVS producer went to that. And by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you want to
watch? The number one.
This video that I just happen to have on my iPad.
But do you know what they went? But do you know what instead they went to instead of your over the top play that basically?
No idea, but I'll find out.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying. I got it right here on my iPad, dude.
What are you trying to prove?
I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm just
that you're a nerd.
You just said I wish I had that, and I said, well, I got it right here. That's all. Yes, and I am a nerd. All right. So yes. Let's just go to the defense because it's all off the rails.
Charlie M says, I love Jordy, but he was scared of getting his head knocked off all night. Alligator armed several throws.
I don't know.
I mean, I think he had that one mess up.
I don't know, Charlie M. I think, Nick, yes.
Not feeling you.
Definitely on the interception. I think that is definitely the case. Looking at the game, having watched the game a couple times, I wouldn't say it was throughout the entire game, but I would definitely say I saw two instances where that would definitely apply. Like I said, the interception was definitely one of them.
And I do want to answer, Jeremy from Titletown Sound Off is saying sign anyone, but as we know, Ted is not going
not
gonna
have
to
it.
Sign
Okay, now here's a fun phrase. As I reported earlier this week, because I never do that.
You report things?
And I did this week.
When did you report something?
The Packers reached out to Eric Winston, and they had preliminary talks, and he was left waiting. And then the Packers decided to stand pat.
Oh.
So we're going with... I know. Like I said in the...
I'm so shocked.
Like I said in the post.
Ted decided he didn't want to sign a free agent?
As I said in the post.
So shocked.
Ted good to Ted.
That's life.
And that's what he did. So
and it's good. It's good life.
It's interesting because...
It's an XLV life.
Obviously, the Eagles had they had major injury issues along their offensive line on Sunday. They brought Winston in yesterday, or the day before, I can't remember. And he left without a deal. But I also heard from a source that he's actually got a standing offer in Philadelphia for the league minimum. And he's just waiting to try and, you know, do a little better than the league minimum.
Gotcha.
But so, you know, what will probably happen is the Eagles will probably sign him and then Schraub will suck again and then they'll be SOL. That's looking on the bright side, girls and boys.
Way to look on the bright side of life there, Nagler.
All right, speaking of the bright side of life, let's talk about the defense.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
What's crazy is we just talked, I feel like I'm ready to die, and we just talked about the good side.
We're only 0-1.
I know. A lot of season.
A lot of ball game left.
Whole lot of ball game left.
And I was really happy. I was actually happy with the tweet I made. I kind of felt like you for a hot moment.
That's unfortunate. Hot moment. What did you do?
A hot moment. Sometimes on Twitter, I can like feel like I'm you vicariously.
No idea what you're talking
like I'll
about
tweet
right
and
now.
I'll get retweeted like a lot of times, like more than 10 times.
Right.
It's only when it has to do with the Packers, by the way. I figured this out about myself. Like I figured out what my sub niche
is. Look at your avatar, dude. I mean, you think anyone's like coming to you for like live production? Like,
I hope not.
Like, look at this.
I mean, I hope for live production.
Look at this live producer who looks like a freaking maniac in his
look,
Twitter
if,
avatar.
If you're my client for live production, you know I'm going to bat for you, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing.
But you know everything about what it is you do.
I don't know about everything. But so I tweeted that
you don't know anything about the Packers, but you know everything about the live production.
That's true. You know that we can still go 15-1, Nagler. Just FYI.
Like I said, man, when you're gonna go 11-5, you gotta lose 5 games. That's all I'm saying. All right, we gotta get to the defense.
We're not. Yeah.
So screw it.
We have no guests to go to, by the way.
To go to.
Thanks to Aaron.
You know, This aggression will not stand, man. I can't help it that Casey Hayward said no. That's right, Packers fans. Casey Hayward doesn't want to talk to you. That's all I'm saying. Oh, wait. Time for a segment. We ready?
Oh, okay,
can you put me on? Can put my camera on? All right.
You're on.
Are you ready? Okay. Casey Hayward. What's going on? You afraid to talk to Packers fans? You don't want to participate? I mean, you had a great game Thursday. I understand not wanting to talk after a loss or something, but really? Eschewing Packers fans? Because, you know, you don't want to talk? Why not?
If Packer players don't want to talk to us after a loss, it's going to be a long season of Packer Transplants Live with Aaron and Corey. That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, my God. That seriously was so close. I was so close to snarfing that beer. Please
don't spray on that mic. Don't.
So close.
You almost sprayed that beer out.
No, I know. On the paper. Not even close to the mic. On here. Right here is where it was going to go. Oh, my goodness. There, look. See?
Oh, here we go.
There's the video replay.
Okay, so Chris is saying, besides me, great show, guys.
Give it to me, Chris. Thanks, buddy.
Do you think Mike Pennell will be active this week?
Yes, I do. And if he's not, there should be an investigation. It's ridiculous. That the fact that he was inactive against Seattle was shocking. A team that loves to pound the football with Marshawn Lynch. You've got a guy in Guyon who has been active for 2 weeks, essentially, hasn't gone through training camp with everybody else, has barely played, 20 snaps, and they put him out there, and he got run over. And Pennell, undrafted free agent or no, showed the ability to hold a block, to hold his ground. He may not be a penetrator, but at least he hasn't pushed back five yards. Yeah, if he's not active against the Jets, who, by the way, also loved to run the football and looked really good doing it against the Raiders last week.
I love when it's up to our run defense to win.
God help us.
Hey, so that moves us into a nice segue. More personnel, less scheme.
Don't even... Okay, so
all I have to ask you is, are we a 3-4 defense or are we a 4-3 defense? Someone tell me the answer to this question.
Yes.
I hate you.
We are a 3-4 defense, but...
This is so frustrating. I was frustrated when we went to a 3-4.
We employ 4-3 looks as well.
Doesn't that just confuse people?
It certainly confused the Packers.
Not fans. I'm talking about players.
Okay.
That's got to confuse
people. I went on a little bit of a tirade this morning. Not tirade. A little bit of something this morning on Twitter about this very point. All offseason, we heard, and what was it? I want to get the direct quote. More personnel, less scheme.
Yeah, it's in the lower third, Nakler.
We heard that. Oh, do I have a monitor? No. See? That's why you're such a
no,
dick.
You know what's really funny is
such a dick?
Everybody knows you can read now. That's what's hilarious to me.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, some people can't read. Like Mayweather, he can't read, so you can read. Now people know that. More personal,
I'm
less
about
scheme.
To come over this table on you. I'm about to come over the table. Banky.
Oh, man.
More personnel, less scheme. All offseason we heard, we're going to like get lots of guys trained up to do lots of different stuff.
Yeah.
All offseason I was like, yeah, okay, all right, sounds good. Mike's getting involved on the defensive side of the ball. And we go into Seattle week one, where it's loud as hell, and we're all going to be like really crazy with our personnel. And then lo and behold, on a key red zone possession from the Seattle Seahawks, the Green Bay Packers come out in their new 10-man defense.
10-man defense.
I mean, 11 are allowed, but the Packers are so badass, they're going to only play with 10.
All right, so Ethan says Morgan Burnett covering Harvin in the slot several times was a huge failure in the defensive play calling. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, sometimes, okay. Now, here's the thing. That does happen. The one I know everyone remembers is when they used a natural pick on Burnett and got Harvin open on a third down on a cross, and you know he went for it was a huge gain. And, you know, for plays like that, it's hard. You can't say that a defensive coordinator specifically called a play to match up Morgan Burnett versus Percy Harvin. so much happens between the time that Dom calls whatever the hell front and coverage he wants called, by the time he says it and it gets communicated downstairs and then onto the field, A, who knows? And this is the point I was going to make on personnel scheme. Who knows who gets what's called? The Seahawks are running hurry up a lot of the time, so you're making these calls on the fly. And then there are adjustments according to the personnel and especially according to motion. And now here's where Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator for the Seahawks, absolutely owned Dom Capers, much in the way that Jim Harbaugh has owned Dom Capers. He used motion so specifically well. Sometimes it was, as you just said, to get Percy Harvin on a safety. I don't think it was so much to get him on Morgan Burnett specifically, although that may be true. But there were plenty of times where they were using motion to get Percy Harvin matched up on either a linebacker or a safety.
Let me ask you this. Is it the fact that motion is disrupting the coach, or is it the fact that we don't really have a leader on the defense who's on the field all the time?
I think it's more the latter. It's not so much that he's not on the field all the time, because as Packers fans are well aware, we've been sold this bill of goods about A.J. Hawk getting everyone lined up for years.
I'm not feeling that. I'm sorry. I'm not feeling that.
But as I said this
morning,
why can't
Clay Matthews be that guy?
Yeah, you know.
Like Charles Woodson was that guy.
Charles Woodson
was absolutely
that guy.
If you think about our defense, right, we need that. Why don't we have that? Leroy Butler was that guy.
I'll tell you why we don't
I don't understand. Like,
this is what I said this
morning. We've had that in the history of the Packers.
Yes. Yes.
We have had this.
And this morning, this is exactly what I was talking about when I said everyone is so hyper-specialized and so worried about their assignment and so worried about whatever coverage or, you know, substitution pattern or a stunt blitz, whatever, you see it. You see it time and again on that tape against the Seahawks where people are like, they're running in and out. Guys are coming. That's why you got 10 men on the field. Guys are so hyper-specialized. There are a handful of guys. We were talking about this before the show. There are a handful of guys who are always on the field. Clay, Tremont, Morgan Burnett.
And sometimes Julius Peppers.
And Brad Jones in that game was like played every snap.
Unfortunately.
Very unfortunately. But is Brad Jones your defensive leader? Is Brad Jones going to tell Julius Peppers, hey, get outside so you can force the run? Is Brad Jones going to turn around to Morgan Burnett and say, make sure you got this dude? Like, no, Brad Jones head like, swimming as it is.
And I'm not, one of my big things is I don't like to micromanage coach, right? No. But the biggest issue is on offense.
But he does like to micromanage his team.
Yeah, but on offense, you have a guy named Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. arguably the top three quarterback in the league.
Absolutely.
And his whole job is to look and see, oh, that guy's coming up. That means they're in a cover two. Okay, they're in a cover. They're in man. Like his job is to see the overview. Absolutely. And he's in every day and every snap and every play. So where is that guy on defense? And that it can't just be like the micromanagement from a top. Well, it has to be somebody who's going, wait. Right. We've seen this. We were looking at
remember this on tape. Do this.
Exactly.
Think of all the times you've seen Aaron Rodgers. This is famously against the Vikings. What was it, last year or 2 years ago, where he's calling out. He gets someone, and it was the way they're lined up front. Aaron goes, oh, look for this. And then the guy does it. Like, that's tape study.
Yeah.
That's leadership.
Yeah.
There's none of that.
Well, it's on the field leadership. It's being able to see it from across, not just from up top. Because by the time, it's not that Dom Capers doesn't see that happening, but by the time he sees it happening, he cannot talk to the guy on the field.
Exactly. And this was the other point I wanted to make is you think about Dom being so removed from the process. How many people are in that chain? From Dom to the sideline to AJ, except AJ's not always in there. Brad Jones was in there. You know, it was Brad Jones, you know, just the whole idea.
But your job as a coach is to let the players play.
It is. It's your job to put them in the best position to make a play. That is it.
But and they have often, to be able to play the game.
I agree.
There is an acting metaphor here. Right. And there is there's an acting metaphor. Right. There's a cleaning metaphor. There's no, seriously.
It's, I hear you.
You have to train and then you have to throw all of that
away
and go
play. I agree. I totally agree. Totally agree. Absolutely. And too often there's, and you see it, and you know, Mike McCarthy being asked about the tackling yet again today. Yeah, it shows up because guys are thinking too much. There's not enough react. And there's also, we'll get to this in a little bit on our bit about the Jets, but there's not a guy who's going to clean your clock. There's not a guy who's playing with reckless abandon who's just going to like light somebody up. You know, that guy just isn't there. And it's just how Ted operates. It's not how he drafts. It's,
I mean,
not
the Clay kind of guys Matthews. He goes
to get. Yeah, but how often do we see Clay Matthews totally neutralized? Like, early in the game.
But I think, I think that's going to lessen as Julius Peppers becomes more acclimated to this defense.
Yeah, that could be true. That could be very true. But early on in the game,
we're going to see old Clay.
There's a great play where they run, I think it was Ruben, not Lynch, but they run him on just a simple kind of ISO play off the left side. And Clay comes crashing down, makes the play. Behind the line of scrimmage, tackles him for a loss. It's all very exciting. We're all pumped up. But the Seahawks loved that because they saw, because it was early. I think it was the first or second drive. Clay is all like crashing on every down. Well, hello. Next drive, next two drives.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're using that against Clay.
Yeah.
Whether it's the crash down, whether it's tearing up field to get after the quarterback, they're using that all against him. On the play where they had 10 men on the field, you see, the previous play to that, Clay Matthews had been absolutely burned on exactly that, crashing down, getting upfield so fast, blah, 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 blah. So on that play, he stays home. He's like, I'm not going to get burned again. But because of that, here comes the pulling guard, and he sees Clay and just takes him right out of the picture. They were one step ahead of Capers and the rest of the defense the entire game.
Let me ask you this, because I had this question to myself. And I don't know what the answer is. I need somebody. Has AJ Hawk realized? Okay, putting XLV in a little can,
little box, right?
A little storage box. Yeah. Has AJ Hawk realized his full potential as an NFL player?
Yes.
That's sad. if that's all we get out of AJ Hawk for a 7th round draft pick.
He means 6th overall.
Okay, 6th round draft pick?
No, 6th overall. It wasn't 6th round. He's a 1st round pick.
6th draft pick of the NFL?
There you go.
That's what I meant.
Fifth, or was he 5th?
Was he
5th or 6th? 5th.
He wasn't 7th?
No, it was 5th or 7th.
If that's all we get, I feel like...
Check this. So I'm sure... Like, I have no doubt someone on the live blog is right now is correcting this.
I feel like we got chipped.
Oh, yeah, I know. I hear you, but that's the age-old thing. It's like... You look at who else they could have selected.
And I did mean maybe, 7th overall when it said 7th round, by the way.
Maybe Vernon Davis. This reminds me of the first podcast we ever did when I think you were trying to talk about Tremont Williams and you said, on my Carroll.
Yeah.
It was great.
No.
First podcast
the best
we
was,
ever did.
The best was when we used to do podcasts, when we first started, right. we would do the whole like segment and then we'd go back and listen to it and then we'd re-edit it.
Like, oh, no, that's no good.
And
that's
then
no
you
good.
Would
we
be like,
redo it.
No, you said that wrong. And I'd be like, oh, good thing I can correct it. Now that we're live, it's like I basically have to be corrected on air. Otherwise, I'm a moron. I mean, I'm still a moron, but at least if I'm corrected, we're not all morons.
Wait, so what are they saying?
He's the 5th round pick. Fifth pick. I just like to say round, bro. Yeah,
dude. As everyone can definitely attest now. 5th pick.
Okay,
overall.
So does anybody think that he was worth the value of the
no,
fifth pick?
No one thinks that. But who else were they going to take? You look at the top 10, and Vernon Davis was like the guy they could have taken, but Vernon Davis took forever to become a player as well. He's still a very good player, and they'd probably be better off without him.
I challenge
with
you.
Him,
because but. I have no, I don't have the 10 staff for Cheesehead TV that I really want. I challenge you, Nagler.
Oh, no.
I definitely think we could have taken somebody better than AJ Hawk in the entire draft.
We could have taken Vernon Davis, yes. That was it. Everybody
in the entire draft?
Well, the entire draft?
There's somebody better than AJ Hawk.
Sure. And if Ted had done it, like everyone would have gone nuts and said he's insane and blah, 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 blah.
But then
and
he would have been awesome.
But who knows if he had been awesome? There's the other part of the draft that people totally discount is like just because a player becomes a star in one spot, in one situation, in one scheme with one coach, doesn't mean he was going to be a star, great player in this scheme with this coach. That's just not how it works. So you can cherry pick, sure, but, you know, the Ted took the guy he wanted.
So you're saying AJ Hawk with the Raiders would have been better than AJ Hawk with the Packers?
AJ Hawk with the Raiders would have been hilarious. Back to the defense.
Are we doing the Seahawks targeted Peppers? And I spelled Peppers wrong, by the way.
That's all right. Well, yeah. Well, then let's skip it so people don't have to see your misspelling.
Too late.
There we go. The Seahawks definitely targeted Julius Peppers. Now, it wasn't so much like we're going to run at him like lots of teams do with pass rushers, though there was a little bit of that. And Julius held up well against that. But there was certainly a number of plays where they were trying to go after the old guy.
Yeah.
They were essentially, we're going to run a lot of zone read. We're going to run this jet sweep. And this old man is not going to know what to do with it. And for the most part, they were right. And that is going to be a bit of a problem. And as you intimated before, Corey, I think as the year goes on and Julius Peppers gets acclimated to the defense, I think there will be less of an opportunity there for opposing offenses. But, I mean, early on, the book is there. I mean, it's on tape. Run zone read. Run jet sweep. Run right at him.
I'm not worried about Julius Peppers. I'm not. Justin Ritzel says, Haloti Gata.
Nada.
Nada. Yes. Went 12th that year.
Yes, he did.
So would that
have been great?
That would be better than AJ.
And if Ted had taken Nada with the 5th overall pick, Packer Nation would have burned him to the ground.
But today,
much the way they did with Brett Favre.
But today, it would be all good.
Yeah, it'd be great. But you know, let's be realistic here. That's great.
Sunshine and
rainbows is wonderful. But you know, at the time, you weren't saying that. Show me one draft Nick who said the Packers should draft Haloti Ngata.
You don't draft based on draft Nicks.
No, but that's my.
If we drafted based on draft Nicks, we would have never had Brett Favre as a quarterback.
I'm not asking him to draft on based on draft Nicks. I'm saying we would have killed him. We're sitting here killing him now. We would have killed him then.
So, but he'd be better off now, though.
Ooh, with our 2020 vision of hindsight, yes, you are correct, Corey.
I'm just saying.
You know, it's crazy how defensive tackles get like totally undervalued. Aaron Donald this year, Star Lotulelei.
Why is that?
Took by the Panthers a couple 2 years ago.
It's kind of weird if you think about
it. I mean,
who's the highest paid player right now? J.J. Watt, right?
Aaron Donald should have been a top 10 pick for the record. But yeah, it happens all the time. People just don't value defensive tackles.
Jeremy made a good point. If the Packers didn't pick Hawk, it would have been the end of the world. But that never has fazed Ted. When Ted cut Brett, it was the end of the world. And it didn't faze.
Traded Brett.
Whatever.
Traded Brett.
When he got rid of the legend.
There you go.
When he released the legend. it was the end of the world. And
everything turned out fine. And much like taking AJ Hawk turned out fine, by the way.
It didn't.
They
really
did win a Super Bowl. I mean, I didn't imagine it, right?
Put that in a box, Nagler. In a box. You can't take it out of the box after I put it in the box.
No, we were past that. He came out of the box by himself. Couldn't help it.
Clinton Dix. Let's talk about the rookie.
We're off the rails.
Let's just talk about the rookie We have to end
this
show at some point.
Really bad plays. Obviously, the one everyone will remember is the missed tackle on the play where Sam Shields was peeking in the backfield, even though he shouldn't have been. But for the most part, I thought the rookie played pretty well.
Yeah.
He had some ups and downs. He had some really rough tackle attempts. But that's nothing he didn't put on tape when he was in college. So, you know. But you know, for the most part, he did a great job as far as his drops and as far as finding out, you know, staying deeper than the deepest man and things like that. So I can't get too riled up about how, you know. And here's the other thing. He should be starting. Micah Hyde should not see the field as a safety until either, you know, maybe Burnett totally craps the bed or Clinton Dix is hurt because Clinton Dix is much better.
That's I can't wait. Until I'm eating a bowl of my own chili. I've got my iPhone in my other hand and I see an interception by the rookie and I can just scream out, ha ha. I cannot wait.
Well, you could have.
I've been waiting.
You could have against the Seahawks, except he dropped it.
Yeah. It didn't happen.
You know, it's that first game jitters. I understand. It's all right. Hey, better now than in the playoffs, right, Micah? Ooh, snaps.
You better slow down or we're going to talk. Let's talk about the Jets game preview. Let's talk about the future.
All right.
Looking forward.
We're done. We're done with
the, I didn't even think we could last this long dwelling,
I'm pretty
but
impressed.
We're Packer fans. I'm pretty impressed. So that's just what happens.
45 minutes on the past game. That's pretty, pretty darn impressive. So let's look forward.
And we've lost viewers, by the way.
That's a shocker. So let's look forward. Let's look at the upcoming game against the Jets. Shall we?
Let's do it.
Three keys to the game. Number one. Now, this, I don't have much to add to this point because there really isn't much to say because I don't know how they're going to do it. But number one, blocking Muhammad Wilkerson, Damon Harrison, and Sheldon Richardson. I don't know how they're going to do it.
I don't know how they're going to do it. Just like I don't know why I thought I needed a comma in that. Sorry.
That front is scary, and they're really good and athletic and beasts, all three of them.
Yeah, but you know who's not good?
Derek Trott?
No.
Who?
The coach of the Jets.
I love Rex Ryan.
Come on.
Stop your nonsense.
Tool.
Stop your nonsense.
If I had a lower third that said T-O-O-L right now, I would be playing it.
He is one of the best coaches in the NFL.
Oh, my
Do you know
goodness.
This? Do you know this? Are you aware of this?
Yeah, because I live in the New York market.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
He's really freaking
He's
good.
He's brilliant.
He went to two AFC championship games with Mark Sanchez as his quarterback. That should put him in the Hall of Fame right there.
Oh.
Anyway,
man,
he's
such a blowhard.
Who cares? He can coach the game.
He cannot coach.
He can totally coach.
He cannot coach.
Coach. Totes coach.
Okay, next key to the game there, Niggs.
Fast start by the offense. Gonna need it because if it's close and the Jets are able to continue to call running plays through all four quarters of the game, the Packers are in major trouble. The running game for the Jets is not the running game you saw last year. Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory have brought a dynamic new dimension to this offense and the way they run the football. They've got a very stout veteran offensive line, knows what the hell they're doing. Running game scares the hell out of me, especially I would be fine if the freaking Teflon Dons on the defensive front for the Packers hadn't been ripped through in Seattle last Thursday.
By Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, I get all that, but
it's Marshawn Lynch, dude.
Yeah, of course it is.
Marshawn Lynch is going to get some yards.
Chris Ivory is Marshawn Lynch light, dude.
I'm ready for Geno. I'm ready for Geno to give up some pick six.
And what has to happen for that to happen? They have to throw the ball. Will they throw the ball? Because they're behind. The offense has to get off to a fast start. Has to happen. If the game is nip and tuck through four quarters, they're in real trouble. And then finally, thank you. Geno will throw some INTs. He will throw you a couple.
Well, hopefully to Haha while I'm eating chili.
Much like Jay Cutler, Geno will throw you some picks. He will fumble the football. He will turn the ball over. It is incumbent upon you, Green Bay Packers defense, to take advantage, to catch those interceptions, to get that ball when it's on the ground from a fumble.
Good luck with that.
He will turn the ball over. It is on the Packers to capitalize. Those are your three cases. Take care of those. Packers win pretty easily.
Actually. I think Packers are going to win anyway.
I do too.
But I always think that.
What's your prediction?
I don't have one.
You got to have one. It's in the script.
21-0.
21-0.
Packers.
All right. 31-17. Packers. That's my prediction. 31-17. Yes, and we are fully aware that the last time they met,
21-0.
It was 9-0.
If it's 21-0, then I get to sit in that chair next week and you get to switch the show.
Okay. That'd be fun.
Which is really scaring me that I just said that.
I can't even believe you just
said
that.
There you go.
So here's the funny part. So last time these two teams met was here in New York City. Actually, it was across the river in Jersey at MetLife Stadium now. Back then, I think it was still the Meadowlands. And we were in the front row.
Yeah, we were.
Front row.
I had my face paint on.
And Corey is face painted with a big wig and everything. And every time, this is glorious, every time the crowd would do their King J-E-T-S chant, they would say, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And as the last Jets was like reverberating around the stadium, as it would just like kind of start dying, you would hear just one lone makeuped voice yell, "Suck!" And literally, I'm not exaggerating, he did this
every single time.
Well,
as soon as you see Fireman Ed, who's a Miami Dolphin fan, by the way, only the Jets would have their diehard signature mascot be another fan who like transferred over to the Jets. Fireman Ed, I cannot stand that guy.
J-E-T-S.
Oh, man. Jets suck. I can't stand them. I'm sorry. I am the person who is I am in the daily news.
Yeah, I hear you.
As a quote.
Yes, I hear you. I
remember. Okay? That says, "I hate all New York sports teams." Only an idiot like me would say that in New York.
Oh, man. It's true.
Let's talk about Rex Ryan. I took the guy who will knock your face in.
Yep. That's what he said today when asked by the Green Bay media about the Jets taking Calvin Pryor over HaHa Clinton Dix. Obviously, they took him earlier in the draft. HaHa was available.
I hope HaHa makes them regret that.
What's interesting, and Bob McGinn wrote it today, they will be intertwined their entire careers because they were both taken in the first round and both teams desperately needed a safety and the Jets chose Pryor.
I've got some trivia for you. Same thing, right? Yeah. Who is tied to Aqib Talib?
That's a great question.
In the same way.
I don't know. Who is it?
I don't either.
Then why did
it's
you
a Packer.
Question?
It's a Packer cornerback, though.
Is it?
Yes.
In what regard?
Yes, it is.
Somebody was
because
drafted?
Aqib Talib was drafted by the Bears.
No, he was drafted by the Bucks. Oh, I know who you're thinking. You're thinking Jordy Nelson.
No.
Because Jordy Nelson
burned him
when he was in college.
Yes, yes.
Right.
But Jordy Nelson was taken later. Didn't we take a cornerback in the first round of that? I thought it was going to be Ahmad Carroll when I first thought about it.
I don't think so.
But I don't think so. I think Ahmad Carroll was earlier.
This is reminding me of
I have
Ahmad
to look
Carroll,
who was
Tremont
taken
Williams
in the bit. First round with Aqib Talib. Because I just saw him and he looks amazing. That dude is amazing. Why couldn't we take him?
Yeah, he's amazing until he goes up against a serious number one wide receiver. And then he's, ask Steve Smith about Aqib Talib last year. Come on.
What's he going to say?
He's going to say, "Ice up, son." Anyway, all right. So those are our predictions. That's Calvin Pryor and HaHa. That'll be interesting to watch because I like the point that Ted made after the draft when he was asked about, you know, the possibility of either taking Pryor or possibly Buchanan, who ended up going down to Arizona. You know, and he said he is reticent. He admitted taking big hitters like that, it's great that they can hit, but you worry. You worry about penalties. You worry about a big hit given up in today's NFL, giving up 15 yards every time one of those big hits happen. You worry about injuries. How often is he going to be available? If he's continuously hitting big hits, if he's hurting himself, what good does that do you? So it's interesting that that's Ted's reasoning. Obviously, Rex is the guy going, "I want the guy who can smash your face in." Of course.
Yeah.
And that's the dichotomy. That's the
one guy's won a Super Bowl, one guy hasn't.
Two different viewpoints. Well, one guy, Rex Ryan won a Super Bowl with the Ravens as defensive coordinator.
Don't talk about the Ravens right now. We said we weren't going to talk about that. Here we go. We're going into this.
Football. That's right. It's the return of that venerable series. It's This Week in the Packers Blogosphere. Corey, I know you love this segment.
I do.
You, I know.
It's one of my favorites.
You really live for it. So we're gonna jump right to our
Cheesehead
TV Twitter box.
This is serious, though.
This is serious.
This is not some Aaron Nagler like not being serious. This is serious.
Why is it gotta be Aaron Nagler not being serious? You've been serious all night? Is that what you're telling
me? No. God knows I'm not serious. Okay. Right. We need.
Gotta happen. Gotta
this
happen,
is the
people.
Cheesehead TV bump here, people.
We gotta get you all following at Wisco Disco Beer.
Just do it.
Criminal.
Right now, go on Twitter.
It is criminal that the sponsor of this here show
has 413 followers.
Has fewer than 500. That's just criminal. People, you got to get upon it. Like,
Come on. They are
served in Lambeau Field.
Just do it. It's really good. I can attest
to it. It's a beer in Lambeau Field. follow it. Sometimes, you know, you just got
to. I think that was over the top.
You know what? What's funny is that
you just got. Why is your beer empty? Oh, man. I hate it when he does this to me. Why do you leave? Because then I don't know what to talk about. I'd have no one to make fun of there. I've got a shot of you on the empty chair. I've got no one to make fun of. I've got no one to talk to.
Do you need one?
You just hear my voice. Yes, of course I do. People, we need to follow this beer. Nagler. Sometime this year. I've got it on here. I'm going to show Nagler's empty seat for a second. No, we're going to end the show now.
No,
we're going to end the show.
You know what we need?
We've had too many Wisco Discos. We're going to end the show.
You know what we need to start? A weekly segment where we prank call a media member. That's
what Jason Wilde?
Yeah. You want to do it?
No. No, I think we need to end the show. People are like, what's happening?
I just got a beer.
Yeah, okay. We'll drink it.
Fine. All right. So Corey's a party pooper and we're going to end it. That'll do it for this week's episode.
Follow Wisco Disco Beer.
At Wisco Disco Beer. Do it, people. Get on Twitter and follow them. They are amazing. They make amazing beer and other things. They make amazing
beers.
Well,
they have a new beer, actually.
Plural.
Exactly, actually, my point. I've never shown this shot, but let me pull this out.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. The
exclusive.
I actually didn't show my shot. Super Kind. This is actually a Wisco Disco beer, a new beer they're coming out with called Super Kind. So you
from
need
Still Mank Breweries, Super Kind. Get on it, people.
Get on it.
And you know what? If you follow them on Twitter, you'd all be like, I already heard about it, Corey.
Yeah, man. You would
it's
know.
It's all right. I'm on Twitter, dude. You don't even know where to wait. Follow them on Twitter. Get on it. All right. We ready?
Yep.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants Live. We would have thanked our guest, Casey Hayward, except he doesn't want to talk to Packer fans. So we'll just thank you for showing up. You guys are the reason we do this. You absolutely make this a unique experience for Packer fans everywhere. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching. Thank you for visiting the site, following us on Twitter, liking us on Facebook. It's amazing. The response is incredible. Packers are going to get this turned around. We're going to be 1-1 next week when we get back to you. And go, Pack, go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?